Now, Billericay Street Pastors are Christian volunteers from local churches who provide non-judgmental care and support to people using Billericay Town Centre on Friday and Saturday nights. They're part of a national team, first pioneered in 2003, and Street Pastors continue to grow through the UK and across the world. Now, here to tell us all about the Street Pastors and the great work they do is a great fella who I much admire. It's Phil Norton. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Welcome to Phoenix.
All ready for Christmas?
Just about, yes, yes. It's a bit of a rush, isn't it? Everybody's flying about in a panic.
Yeah. Now, can I just say, Bob, before we start as well, just to remind the listeners that you also have a great team of Street Pastors in Brentwood as well.
Oh, yes.
So Street Pastors are operating throughout different areas of Essex.
You're getting ahead of me there because I was going to mention that later. Oh. So never mind, it's all right.
Oh, I've ruined your script
already.
No,
it's absolutely
fine. That's what I'm here to do, Bob. Keep you on your toes. Michelle's told me that I've got to, like, you know, ask you a few questions.
Absolutely,
just to keep you guessing.
Oh, I knew I'd have trouble, but don't worry, we'll get on with it, we'll do it, we're fine. Now, last time I saw you, you were with your team at a stall at the Billericay Christmas Market a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
Did you have a successful day at the market?
Do you know, every time we go out, our only agenda on days like that is how do we communicate what we're trying to do to our public, to the community where we serve. And those events are absolutely fantastic for us to put our gazebo, put our stall out, show people what it is that we're trying to do, let them see our uniform, and just create more awareness of exactly what we try and do on Friday and Saturday nights, just when we go out to help our community if they need it, just to let them know that that we're out there doing our thing.
Yeah.
So those events are so important to us, the fireworks night, Summerfest, things like that, just so that we can show that some of the people that may not come out late at night into the high street but might hear about Street Pastors. What do they look like? What do they actually do? So it's very key to us to go out to some of these events just to show people who we are and just to engage.
Sure.
So successful-wise, yes, it was a success because we met many, many people, shared with them what we did, and it's just so exciting to be involved.
Well, that's right. I mean, especially at the Christmas market, you've got 20,000 people walking past you, haven't you?
Absolutely incredible.
Amazing. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Street Pastors in a minute, but first of all, I'd like to learn a bit more about yourself, because how did you get involved with the Street Pastor movement? I believe it was quite a traumatic event that kind of led to it, wasn't it?
Well, I have had a traumatic event in my life, Bob, and that was a part of my ongoing work now that sees me doing this Street Pastor. So I have been a Christian and a church goer for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I also worked as a police officer. And during that, one morning I had a very traumatic incident that happened to me, a calamity, where I was doing my job and I was going along a very fast road, and it was very dark and very wet. Mm. And I was a highly trained advanced driver, but in front of me, unaware of me, an accident happened. A guy lost control. He shot across the motorway. He ended up in bed in his car in the central reservation.
Oh, dear.
And what I'm telling you, Bob, is not something that I've got from my memory. I've got amnesia from about half an hour before the accident to about 3 hours after.
Right.
So I'm telling you what I've pieced together, and as much as a very traumatic event, it's in some way, and we were just discussing it briefly then about how do we cope? What mechanisms happen in ourselves when we go through something really traumatic, but either we can't cope or our brains think that this is too much, or I'm no expert.
No.
Psychologically, we shut out a period of time.
Yeah.
In a way, I can sort of understand amnesia from the point of impact if you have a traumatic event.
Yeah.
But to have amnesia prior to that event happening, I really can't quite understand.
But it's as if your brain's trying to protect you, isn't it? And I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Well, as a person of faith, I also think that there is something spiritual involved in that as well.
Yeah.
So somebody that believes what I do in the presence of, a God and a Saviour that came to save us, which is you know, great timing at this time of year to think about him. Yeah. I actually think that there's another thing moving on, whereas, you know, spiritually, we are spiritual beings. We're not just animals that are just walking around with no choices to make. So we have all this going on in ourselves as well.
Yeah.
So I actually think there's that dimension to it as well.
Okay.
So I went through this really horrendous calamity crash. I was put in hospital, and I could spend an hour talking to you about all the different things. In fact, I do every now and then do talks about it.
Sure.
And there's different things that went on. But why was I put through that at that time?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that when you've been through that is you look around at other people that you love, other people that are in your family and your friends and other people, and think, well, why was it not my time at that moment to die?
Right.
The thing I went through, other people have died from.
Okay.
So you look at it and you think, oh my goodness, what was that all about? Why am I still here? There's other people in my life that are really very close to me, family members, that didn't deserve to die, and they are no longer with us.
Yes, yeah.
So you think about all this, and you ponder on it, you ponder on the amnesia, but you ponder on why wasn't it my time? And I've found that over the last few years that I actually am now in a place where I think, do you know, I've got this real calling on my life to do this thing called Street Pastors, yeah, and to try and develop it in my own town, but also across Essex, and think about what else does it look like in other towns. You know, are there other towns? Would it work in their town? You know, other places not necessarily got lots of discos and lots of antisocial behaviour, but there are other towns a bit similar to Billericay that people are out and about in the nighttime economy that might just want to meet a group of people that are caring, that might just want to have a conversation about some rubbish that they're going on in their life.
Yeah.
Do you know, we all need every now and then just somebody that's not going to want to tell you exactly what to do or overly sympathise, but just there as a listening, a caring person, got time, you know, we're all volunteers, you know, we go out and about, just to sort of see where we can help people. Do you know, sometimes people go through some really rotten things in life.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if we can just be the people that they share that with to start to get their heads back round what it is they're going through, try and give them some sort of purpose, then if that's all we do, then I think that's a really good thing to be doing.
I think it's a great thing. I mean, you've anticipated my next question, really. I was going to ask you what the aims are of the Street Pastors. And you're a presence on the high street, and you're there to talk to people, to befriend them and help them
that's
if you
right.
can.
Yeah? The expression I use, Bob, is we are out to non-judgmentally help anybody that is or becomes vulnerable.
Right.
So it's not just about people that go out and make bad life decisions and maybe have too much to drink or get themselves in a situation. Do you know, sometimes in life things come our way that we didn't anticipate or we didn't expect or we don't deserve.
Yeah.
And in those points, in those times in life, you know, it's just great to be able to be a part of a team that just come along and say, is everything okay?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? And we come across people in all sorts of emotional states. Some people can't see how they're going to reunite with their family or get home safely, and it, just to be with them for that short period of time, because that's our objective. Our objective is to look after people, prevent them being any more vulnerable than they already are.
Right.
Try and link them back in with a family or friend, or how can they get home safely, or can we signpost them to some other group that might want to take them on for counselling or for further assistance.
Yeah.
So that's our aim. Our aim is to just help people that may be or become vulnerable.
Well, it's wonderful work. So I was going to ask you, what's a typical Saturday night like? But I'm guessing there isn't a typical Saturday night.
There probably isn't. No, no. You're probably quite right, because we always, you know, expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
We always pray before we go out. Right. So we meet wherever the Street Pastors are operating from throughout the county. So, you know, we operate here in Brentwood, Billericay, Chelmsford, Harlow, Chelmsford, Colchester, you know, Saffron Walden, Clacton,
right.
Southend. You know, so some of the pretty significant places in our county, and we just meet in our hubs, and we just meet up, we share a few stories, we make sure we're looking after each other, we pray, and then we just go out onto the street to see what is happening, because we're not creating anything, we're not, you know, putting on an event or anything like that. So we generally, so in Southend, we'll go we'll walk down to the seafront, and we'll see who's about. In Southend, you tend to walk past quite a lot of Rough Sleepers, so we're not a Rough Sleeper project, but if we see a sort of a Rough Sleeper that we think, oh my goodness, you look a bit vulnerable, or because some Rough Sleepers are new to it, you know, and you look and you think, oh my goodness, you know, you're out here with a sheet no goods, and you don't really know, you don't really look streetwise. In those circumstances, we try to go in and we try to advise, we try to look after them, do what we can, give them a hot drink, something to wear, and just to make sure they're okay for the immediate point. So, but then again, you know, you don't know who you're going to meet. You might come out of our hub in a place and straight away meet somebody that's been out with their friends, but for some reason something's happened that's made them emotional or memory.
Something's wrong.
Well, we meet a few people that have recently lost people that are bereaved, and just want to take a bit of a moment, a bit of time out in life's busyness, just to say, do you know, I feel really sad, or I feel rubbish, or I feel I couldn't have done anything more. So just to have that chance just to talk to people like myself and other street pastors who are all from the local Christian church, just trying to, with no other agenda, just to see where we can help.
Yeah,
you fantastic. Know, we've got no hidden story. We are just literally people that care.
Now, do you know what? This is getting really spooky, because, again, you've anticipated my next question. It's like you've seen my notes.
It's almost like we know what we're talking about.
Indeed, what I was going to ask you, you mentioned the homeless. I know you've tried to help at least one homeless person in Billericay, and I'm sure there have been more too. What do you say to people who might judge that most people who have ended up homeless have done so because of their own actions, and they've only got themselves to blame, and they don't deserve help, and all this kind of attitude that some people seem to have?
Yeah, we've been going through it a bit, haven't we, in Billericay, on the Billericay discussion page, and a while ago, the new Billericay Town Football Club owner, he really had a sense that he could help these two guys that were homeless in Billericay High Street. And both of those guys, and the only thing I always ask people is just to remember, whenever you meet a homeless person or a group of homeless people, try and remember that they've all got their own individual stories. And try not to, and this is really difficult because we've all come from different places in life, we've all gone through different experiences, but really try very hard not to try and prejudge what has gone on with that person in their life. So one of the homeless guys that Glenn tried to help had already been helped by Billericay people. They'd raised some money and they'd been really supportive of him.
Right.
But he fell outside of that help again. And whether you, again, you know the full ins and outs, whether you judge him for not making a go of it or whatever. Whatever was the reason, he found himself back on the street again. So he was back up the high street with another guy. So Glenn now came along to offer them some help as well. Now, one of the guys couldn't really get his head round this whole new concept of being helped and everything. So very quickly, and he was the guy that had been previously helped by Billericay. This is his second chance of help. Yeah. But he still, because of his circumstances, because of what he's been through, because of his decisions in life and maybe addictions or maybe some mental health issues, he dropped out of that help from Glenn very quickly. The other guy, going again, let's understand he is his own individual.
Yeah.
He made some decisions and he ended up leaving the football club under a bit of a cloud, and he took some stuff that wasn't his. But again, we don't know the full circumstances of why did he do that. Why, for any of us, why would you give up such an amazing opportunity? The guy's come around the corner, he said, look, there's this opportunity, and he seemed to be making a go of it. But that didn't work either. So you've got that in our high street. So now recently we've also got another young lad called John. He's very young, but he's an ex-Billericay guy. He's going through all sorts of issues in his own life, and he's on the streets. And like, you know, people are trying to support these guys as much as they can, giving them clothing, giving them things to eat. I'd always recommend to people to be careful about giving money,
okay,
because we're not really sure what happens to the money and how they're going to use it. And again, it's difficult, because in saying that, am I saying that they're going to use it for something that we wouldn't want them to? Do you know? It's so fine lines.
Yeah.
But our recommendation, our biggest encouragement to people that see a rough sleeper is, and this is something that we can all do to a degree, you still have to be careful, you have to be sensible. We can all give them time. One of the things that we found with people that live on the street is they thirst for human contact. Thirst for human conversation, for interest, for telling a story. So we can all do that.
Yeah.
And so if at least you do is give them time, then find out from them, what do you need?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we might think, right, you look like you need fish and chips.
Right,
go and get it. Mate, it's a nice fish and chip. That'll do you good.
Right.
Well, we don't know that 10 minutes before, somebody already given him fish and chips.
Do you know?
I mean, somebody in the summer, I was standing chatting to one of them, really lovely lady, got caught a bit surprised at seeing the rough sleeper, ended up giving him a box of 6 ice lollies. Oh, there you go. And that was lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. So he ate one.
Right.
He ate the second one.
Yeah.
But then what? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened to the other 4. Do you know? So chat to them, spend a bit of time, listen.
And it can be rewarding.
Absolutely.
Earlier this year, you know the guy in the high street who plays the accordion?
Yes.
He was out, playing his tunes, and there was a homeless guy sitting on the other side of the road. And I walked up to this guy. Oh, hi, how are you today? And he said, I'd be all right if that bloke would stop playing the accordion. So it was funny. We had a little chat, and
not his taste of music. Maybe.
No, that's right.
Yeah, we don't want to have a battle of homeless people. They tend to get on well and support each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, I'm going to ask you about what's coming up in the future. But something I heard the other day was a new initiative to extend the scheme, the street pastors scheme, to the railways.
Yeah,
the rail pastors.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
Bob, this is so exciting.
Tell us all.
I've just recently qualified to be a rail pastor myself, it's very exciting. So we're very aware that there's several things that happen around our rail lines that we feel that we might be able to help, and we're in good relationship with the Samaritans, and we love what the Samaritans do, fully support their work.
Right.
But there are still people that reach a point in life where, unfortunately, they believe that the only way to answer all their problems is to end it all. And you know, when we all sit and when we all use conversation and common sense, really, we probably, if we're really honest, unless you've been through it yourself, can never quite understand why would you think that is your best answer? Because, as we all know, you know, when somebody does do this, that it leaves a whole load of hurt for family, for friends, for communities. You know, a lot of people become very, very emotionally upset.
Absolutely.
And you know, or maybe you have been part of the travelling public that if somebody's taken their life in a way that then, and I can't think of a better word, but then you feel inconvenienced by it, do you know?
Yeah.
You're sitting on the train, you're sitting in a car, you're sitting, you know, what's going on? Why am I being held up on my journey?
Yes.
I think at that moment, if we really understood what had happened, we'd probably sit a bit more peacefully. But sometimes we don't know.
Yeah.
But what does it look like to try and support the Samaritans, try and support the British Transport Police, try and support the train operating companies and the networks and the other people, the wardens and people that operate? What does it look like to have a team of us supporting what they're trying to do? Maybe, I mean, my my real prayer would be, what would it look like if we were to manage to prevent somebody making that ultimate decision?
Yeah.
What does that look like? And so what we've done is we've trained with all those agencies I've mentioned. The main thing we do is the Samaritans managing suicidal course. So all rail pastors, they're already trained and experienced street pastors,
okay,
that take, yeah, on additional training that become available to volunteer to actually go to railway stations or travel the train or go to places where, unfortunately, people have maybe thought about taking their life.
Yeah.
What does it look like for us to go to these places and just be another pair of eyes, another listening, caring people that would hopefully intervene just before somebody makes that? So that's something that we think that the rail passers can do. We also think that there are anecdotal stories that we hear from other rail pastor groups across the country. There's some really big ones in Reading and North London and in Scotland. They've really caught this whole idea of rail pastors, yeah, travelling on the trains or being at stations, just being there for, again, for people that just maybe want to have that chat.
It's
maybe
fantastic.
Do you know, yeah, while they're, yeah, waiting for a train, you know, it might be 15 minutes time, you know, I'm really going through it today, I'm fed up with this, or I'm in fear of losing my job. What does it look like to have some people that care about you enough to just be there for you,
yeah,
just to have those really important conversations? And if we can, in some way, encourage people or lighten the load, encourage them back to you know, some good positive ways of thinking maybe about a certain circumstance, or even just drop some ideas in. You know, we feel that we can continue this street pastor project along the railways,
yeah,
and rail passes is coming. We've already got all the agreements to start in Essex, so we're going to start patrolling between Shenfield and Colchester. We hope our first patrol is going to be before Christmas. We've just got a slight delay on one of the vetting procedures that's come quite late, but we've got everything else in place. We've got all our volunteers, they're all trained.
Fantastic.
We've got our uniform. It's going to be slightly different colour to the street pastor uniform. It's a lighter blue.
Okay.
And I think that's so that we're a little bit more obvious on the rail network.
Right. So
such an exciting thing.
Sounds like it. So how much have you been involved in setting all this up? Have you done a lot of the work?
I have done.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I not only am a street pastor, I'm also the representative for Ascension Trust, which is the overarching charity that oversees all the street pastor networks.
Okay.
So because I have a responsibility, I am pretty determined to keep progressing the ideas of,
yeah,
street pastors, rail pastors, schools pastors is another thing,
oh, okay,
that is really,
yeah,
catching the imagination.
Yeah.
We're due to launch schools pastors in Brentwood next year, Billericay and Southend. And now we've got interest from Malden and from Southwood and Ferrers. What does it look like to have a group of caring people ready to support the school in some of their pastoral things?
Okay.
You know, so we know that schools get a bit of a squeeze on their money and,
yeah,
their objectives,
yeah,
and their performance indicators, and sometimes they could just do with a good group of people going in to build relationships with the young people, maybe go outside of school time as well to meet up with them in places where they're gathering, that sometimes I think it looks like they're causing trouble or antisocial behaviour, but they're just being young people that,
yeah,
are gathering in an area,
yeah,
in a park,
yeah,
in a high street,
yeah, yeah,
you know, in a local McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah.
What does it look like for us to go along and just communicate and just to keep a bit more of the peace? And we want to build a relationship up with our young people so that when they become of an age that they're going to start expressing themselves in our nighttime economies, they already know who we,
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that's great.
So
yeah,
to me, it's quite joined up.
Yeah.
So fantastic. Yeah, that's another exciting project that will probably be launching next year.
Absolutely brilliant. And yeah, again, you've anticipated my next question. So
I'm good at this, Bob, aren't I? Maybe you shouldn't have written them up on the board in big,
no,
thick marker pen.
I didn't. You haven't seen any of this. The question was, so as we near the end of 2017, what's coming up for the street pastors in the new year? So you've covered a lot of that. Yeah, is there anything else that you...
There is. Yeah. So we've covered, obviously, there's going to be hopefully a few more street pastor projects launched in some of the towns that haven't quite got them yet.
Right.
So you think of Rayleigh, quite a busy nighttime economy.
Yeah, yeah.
You think of Maldon, you know, quite a lot of people out there. What does it look like in Canvey? You know, Canvey have got some different issues going on, but what does it look like to have a team of volunteers that are available to go and interact? And this isn't a big, you know, big brother coming to sort you all out.
No,
this is coming in and very sensitively, the people would be from the community, just trying to do, what does it look like?
You just know? Being there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Being there to help.
So we've got some new street pastor projects, we've got the rail pastor starting, and I hope that expands to the Victoria side of the Greater Rebellion line, but also I'm hoping that we'll go on to the C2C line as well.
Okay.
So there's lots going on with rail passes. Schools passes, as I said, possibly, you know, we'll be launching in at least 3, maybe 5 different places. But we're also got a team of people now already trained to be called what we call response pastors.
Right.
So what does it look like if a community suffers a really big tragedy?
Okay.
It might be something like... We've been to the Grenfell disaster. I was up there for 3 days at Grenfell,
right.
You know, just trying to help out. What does it look like if there's a plane crash, a train crash, a bomb, or something significant? Or what does it look like if our community goes through a significant event where the community start turning out to show their emotion or their appreciation? Or, do you know, quite often we see, don't we, people bring in flowers to lay at a particular site or so. And what does it look like to have a group of people there ready at when the public are coming out to show? Sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's emotion. Sometimes when we look at it, we're thinking, why has this affected you so much? Do you know, sometimes, and it's really interesting. So we just want to be on the ground. So response pastors, we're here. We're building relationships up with Essex County Council, the police, the Police and Fire Crime Commissioner. So we're trying to get the relationships right so they know that they've got another group of volunteers that they can call on in times of crisis.
Yeah, wonderful.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Wonderful. Phil, you're inspirational. I really, really admire you. If you have inspired anyone by chatting to us today to feel that they'd like to get involved with street pastors, how do they contact you, and you know, what can they expect, really?
Well, both Brentwood and street pastor projects, we are, well, in fact, you go wider than that now with your new digital setup and your
super
and your aerials and everything.
Yeah.
So in Essex, let's say in Essex, say somebody now is thinking, well, that sounds like something there's something in that I think I can do. So we recruit from the local Christian church. We're all over 18. We're all people that already go to our church for some reason or not. And so we're taken from all the different Christian denominations.
Okay.
So,
you
know, you can think about that as wide as you want. We're all over 18. We all we all get references from our ministers, because we like to make sure that the people that are recruiting, you know, they are who they are.
Of course,
who they say they are, that they are churchgoers and things like that.
Yeah.
For some people, that does cause a bit of a problem, because I've had a couple of things lately where people are saying, am I saying that the only people that can help, that the only people that are good enough to help are people of faith? No, that is not what I'm saying.
No.
If I was a person not of faith and I wanted to help out in my community, there are very many different things that you can be involved in.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a heart for rough sleepers, you can be involved in food banks or winter night shelters or things like that. So please don't hear me right. I'm not saying that it's just that this is a Christian-based organisation. We pray for people. We pray before we go out. We are people of faith. But we are saying that because of that, we're not saying to people we are better than anyone else.
No.
What we're just saying is that this is what you need at the area of life where you need to be coming from if you want to be involved in this specific project.
Yeah.
So we're about to start training again in February, late February. Yeah. So,
and you take your training very seriously, don't you? What sort of things are covered in the training?
Well, we start off with a thing called roles and responsibilities, which is a day's training. And what we do is we show you a little bit more in depth about what I've been talking about today. What's the ethos of the Ascension Trust? You know, why have they started this? All those years go. What is the idea of the church getting involved in community issues? How can they use their resources? How can we be effective on the streets? So we'll go into what is the roles and responsibilities of all the street passers. And then we'll talk you through, and there'll be other training sessions on things like first aid, on youth culture, on drugs awareness, because, you know, from some of the people that we recruit from are good people, but their awareness towards some of the things that they're going to face might not be completely up to date. What does it look like to know the signs and symptoms of different people's things? Because some of the people we meet are going through different things. You know, they might have an addiction issue or a mental health condition overlapped on that, you know, some emotional problems or some bereavement. So it's very key that some of our people are equipped. And we always go out as a team. There's always a minimum of three of us.
Right.
Most times it's four or five.
Okay.
And within that team, we find that we've all got something that we can bring to the party. We've all got life experiences. Quite a lot of our street passers are in their 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. So we're projecting a maturer, older. However, having said that, I really want to find out how to recruit people from the younger generation.
Yeah.
Because actually I think they're underrepresented, if I'm honest, within the street pastor model. And they have definitely got something to bring to the
party. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Because their awareness, they're in touch with the modern culture. You know, so they're going to bring that to us as well. So if there's any younger people that are out there, want to start thinking about it as well. Probably best to get in contact through us through our Twitter feed or our Facebook feed, or look on the Ascension Trust site where all the street pastors groups are listed through the country. You can just click on the site. It will take you straight to that specific street pastor project email. So you can email them and say, you know, this is who I am.
Okay.
This is what I want to do. Tell them a little bit about your story. And then they'll encourage you to maybe come out on what we call a shadow patrol. You know, just because some people think they like the idea of it, but then 2 o'clock in the morning comes and it's not. It's a little bit cold and wet, and then they're thinking, is this really for me?
Yeah.
So we like to people to come out, get the full experience before they dive into their training. But we do train, we do support people. We are a pastoral service to others, but we're also very pastoral to our own people as well.
Yeah. Well, Phil, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I mean,
it's always great to see you, Bob.
Personally, I'm not a religious person, but to me, you seem to be a shining example of the Christian ethos.
Thank you.
And I think, you know, the work you and your colleagues do is superb. It's excellent. Giving up your time to help others, full of admiration for you. So thank you for that. Thank you for talking to us today.
No worries.
And Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas. I was thinking about this yesterday. We were doing something up the high street in Billericay yesterday, and I was saying Happy Christmas to everybody, and everybody was saying Merry Christmas back.
Okay.
So what's the difference, Bob?
Brandy?
I'll stick to my Happy Christmas then.
Okay. All right. Happy Christmas, Phil. Yeah. And to all the street pastors, wish you a very happy Christmas and a fantastic 2018.
And
Phil,
likewise to all at Phoenix FM, to Michelle, if you're still listening, Michelle, and to Paul. You know, we've been talking to Paul, you know, quite a lot about what's going on with Phoenix FM and the link with the football club. And so, yeah, Happy Christmas to everybody here.
Thank you very much. We'll put all of that up on the Phoenix FM website later on today with a few links to the Ascension Trust and
Billericay
Street.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot.
Bless you, Bob.
Cheers.